speak with Nate back there in the back before you prayed at it. Know if you mentioned a request about Carl. Okay. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, that as we come now, Father, and approach your word, Lord, that you will come and open it to us, dear God. And may you speak to our hearts tonight, dear God, to bring encouragement, Lord, to the hearers, I pray. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. We finished up the first book of Corinthians last Thursday. So we'll be starting on the second book of Corinthians here tonight. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivereth us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Yea, ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to youward. For we write none other things unto you than that which ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that we might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia and come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use likeness, or things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us in God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we would have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight is actually the last sermon I'll be preaching this year. Brother Roger will be with us here on Sunday. And this will be my last message for the year of 2023. And you know, whenever I am approaching the end of a year, I know that many people, you know, over this next few days in the world, they're going to be making resolutions, New Year's resolutions, things that they want to do better. And they'll make these resolutions, and some of them, the resolution won't go no further than maybe a few days. And then they'll just go right back to their old ways because, you know, but when I approach the end of a year, I always like to look back over the year that I've come through and see what I've went through and what I've experienced. And I like to look at myself in the mirror and see, have I grown? Have I benefited from these things? Have I allowed them to be a benefit to me? And, you know, it's many times we think, you know, when we're going through hard times and trials and things like that, we think, how can we be of benefit from these things? But we know that the scriptures tells us that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, that are the called according to his purpose. Amen. So, you know, everything we go through is actually for our benefit. And, you know, that's what Paul was speaking of here in these verses when he was talking about a consolation. Having a consolation, which is the word consolation, it's the same as the word comfort, encouragement, or hope. You know, we have a consolation that, you know, everything we go through, you know, it's just God that's working things out in our lives, and God teaches us. You know, and we learn, you know, it would be nice, you know, I guess to say, if we could just learn from hearing some words and then go on and be all the better for it. But we're humans. And actually, the best way that we learn is actually through experience. And so God allows us to go through things to teach us. He allows us to go through things so that he can show us just who he is. You know, Brother Branham said that he led the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. He led them right down to the Red Sea. And it looked like it was a trap because the sea was in front of them and they had nothing to cross it with. And then Pharaoh's army came up behind them, so they couldn't turn and go back that way. And so it looked like a trap. But what did God say to them? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so, you know, that's a consolation that we can stand still and let God handle it. Let God take care of it, you know. And, you know, as humans, many times we get in trials and things like that, and we try to find a consolation in our own abilities. But Paul, you know, he writes here and he said, we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And Paul speaks about here about that there were some troubles and sufferings that he went through in Asia. And actually, Paul doesn't really go into any detail to explain that here. And he doesn't go into any detail to explain that anywhere else in his writings. But we can take from this that as he mentioned it to them, that somehow the Corinthians, they knew something somewhat about what Paul was going through, but maybe they didn't know the actual despairing degree of it. And so Paul was mentioning this, and then, you know, these things, it was sufferings that Paul went through that he was speaking of. And, you know, he was trying to allow the Corinthian church to benefit from what he had experienced and went through. And he because of what he went through, you know, we can see that he experienced deep pain and loss, and that and he wrote and he said, you know, that he received comfort from the Lord during his afflictions, and as a result, he could understand and offer God's comfort to anyone who was experiencing something similar. You know, it was going through trials and that. And that, you know, he says here in the fourth verse, he said that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so, you know, we go through things, and God allows us to go through things. And, you know, we should never get in our mind, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, why can't it happen to somebody else? But the thing is, you realize you can be an encouragement to others from the things that you go through, and how you face it, and then the testimonies that you can give out of it, you know, and times when you see someone else that is really going through a trial and a hard time, that you can, you know, put your arm around them or pat them on the back and say, brother or sister, I'm praying for you. You know, I don't mean to belittle anything you're going through, but I know what it's like to go through some hard trials and be tested. And brother, God brought me out, and I know he'll do the same for you. That's what Paul was trying to convey to them, that God had brought him out of something that was very despairing even to his life. And he was encouraging them, God can do the same for you. Now, why would God do the same for you? Because Paul said, he has sealed us with his Spirit. In other words, we are children of God. We belong to him. God loves us. And, you know, there's times that Brother Branham said in the Message of the Bible Restore, he says, I wonder if the Lord don't just let us get all tore up sometimes, where he can just mold us and fashion us and make us a little different and bless us and kiss us on the cheeks and say, my child, I'm right with you. I'll give you just a little encouragement. Hallelujah. Like Brother Branham said, I preached a message, you know, when I was preaching his message on faith and that, and I said, Brother Branham, I quoted him where he said that God, like a shepherd with his lambs, he'll let you sometimes get hurt and get sick just so he can take you in his arms and show you how much he loves you and cares for you. Hallelujah. You know, the consolation, what consolation do we have in the Lord? We've got a peace to know that God's the one in control. You know, we as humans, we try to control things. And when we're going through a test and a trial and that, many times we try to figure out, how can I make this stop? How can I get through this? How can I, you know, and the thing about it is, just stand still and let God do it. Let God bring you through. I'll tell you something, friends, I've been there. And I'll tell you something, there's, just like anybody else, there was times that I tried to put forth my best effort to make a change so that I could get out of whatever I was going through. And my best efforts didn't get me out of it. Didn't change a thing. I had to go through it. And what was God requiring of me while I was going through it? Just to trust Him. Tribulations worketh patience. We want everything right now. When we start to go through something, you know, we want it to end quick. What do I got to do to get out of this? But I'll tell you something, friends. There's growing spiritual growth that goes on in your life when you're going through things. Faith increases. You learn to trust God. It's like Brother Branham gives, and I might not give this exactly the way he says it, but Brother Branham gives that example about, said a, you know, woman that was driving a horse and buggy and said, I was trusting God till the reins broke. He said, that's the time to trust God. Before, you weren't trusting God. You thought you had a control. You thought you had a handle on it. And God lets things get to where we realize we ain't got no control. And we got to trust in Him. And this is the consolation we have, friends. Our fate doesn't lay in our hands. It lays in God's hands. Look, friends. Death can't take you until God says it's time for you to come home. And you know, there's something about human life, and Brother Branham goes through this in the message of thirsting for life, about, you know, he says, he gives that example about a deer getting shot, and he brings out, you know, how that David points out about as the deer panteth for the water. You know, so my soul longeth after thee, O Lord. And Brother Adam says that deer that's wounded, it tries to make it to the water. But our fate lays in His hands. Hallelujah. And if we can just get to Him, and then just stay there and let Him take care of it. Our consolation is that He loves us. Our consolation, look, He gives us an assurance that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, I'll tell you something, friends. There are times when God will let you go through something to where, and Brother Brian brings this out in the message of Be Certain of God. And you'll feel like, well, is God around? You know, sometimes you gotta feel what it is to have something gone from you and absent to appreciate it when you got it. Let's read from Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 18 and 19. I came out when I did because I had this scripture on my heart, and then Brother Nate was singing that song, The Anchor Holds. And you know, I I thought, why, how fitting. But I want to read this here in Hebrews 6:18. He says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for our refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We've got an anchor. There's a song you were singing when I came out, you know, no matter what kinds of trials and storms and everything you're going through, you've got an anchor. That's your consolation. Sometimes we feel like we get battered and beat up. Sometimes bodily, sometimes emotionally. Sometimes our spirits become weary. Hallelujah. Sometimes, Brother Branham said, God leads us right into great things to show us his power and show us that he can deliver us. Hallelujah. He lets us, sometimes we grow weary. But friends, we're never alone. We've got God. And I'll tell you something else. Paul was writing here to the Corinthian church. He was thanking them for their prayers for him while he was going through these things. He was letting them know, I've got you too, and you've got me. We can encourage one another. You know, many times say, well, you know, somebody's going through, I don't know what to say to them. Friends, sometimes it's not what you can say to them. It's to pray for them. Just say, brother, sister, look, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. We need to pray for one another. Hallelujah. We've got a consolation that there is a land beyond the river. Amen. Brother Branham says this in the message of the great shining light. He said, it gives us consolation to know that we do not hold our destiny. God holds our destiny. And he has ordained it to be so. And there is nothing will ever interrupt the program of God. We are bound to arrive. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. You're going to make it because God has ordained it to be so. Look, friends, we've got many discouraging voices around us. Got many discouraging voices around us. You know, these discouraging voices, I'll tell you something, friends, one of the things I've watched over the years many times, they come and you know what they do? They try to break your confidence. They try to break your confidence in God. They try to break your confidence in one another. And they try to break your confidence in the leadership that God places here. I'm going to tell you something, friends. God sent me here to be a help. And I'll tell you something. There might be people that are around here that we wonder, why don't they come? They didn't come before I came here, so I ain't got a thing to do with it. I ain't stopping them. They didn't come before I got here. But what is it? Satan, because you see, friends, if Satan can try to break down the confidence in the one that God anoints to speak through, to give you consolation from the word, then he can discourage you. I tell you something, friends, I have one thing that I have in my life. I look at what Brother Branham said when Brother Branham brought the times he would speak on his life story. I think about every time he spoke on his life story, he would always use these two words, stepping stones. And he would say something to the effect of, may my mistakes and sufferings be stepping stones to others. That why was he given his life story? Why did he talk about the sufferings that he went through? To try to be a help and encouragement, a stepping stone to others. And I have, in my life, I have often looked at it, and that's when I've thought, Lord, when I've went through some hard things, and when I come out on the other end, I look at it and say, it wasn't just for my benefit, but others can benefit from what I have went through. Friends, look, things that I have went through and suffered in that, they have affected me and have actually helped mold my ministry into what it is today. Now, you know, I'm sure there are things that you have went through and suffered that you would say, well, Brother Jerry, you haven't went through what I went through. But I can tell you this, there ain't nothing you went through that God don't understand. God understands. God was in fellowship with the first son he created, first man that he created. He was in fellowship with him. And he lost him. And because of that, he had to let his son, Jesus Christ, come down and die in order to bring back the man he lost. And when Jesus was here, the Bible says, he was tested in every way such as known to man. You know, I often say this, when you're going through things, you know, instead of belly aching about it, you know, if you've got something you want to really say about it, get down and say it to God. Tell him just how you're feeling. You don't got to get down before God and quote scriptures. You don't got to get down and sound real religious and spiritual. Just tell him how you're feeling. Express yourself. He knows anyway. But I'll tell you this, friends, if you'll get down and talk to the Lord, and you'll stay there till the presence of God comes down around you. When you get up, you're going to be feeling different. Brother Branham said, you know, we come to church and we open the word of God and preach from it that we might find consolation and comfort in his word. That's the thing Satan wants to stop. He wants to stop you from hearing the word. I tell you, since I've been here pastoring, I went through things that I never could have imagined that I would ever go through. You know, I was in the Army. I went through great mental testings in the Army. You know, through my training, they really test you mentally. And then through the things I experienced going to war and all that, it was a great mental test. And I thought of myself that, you know what, I'm pretty strong mentally. I'm pretty sound. You know, I'd been trained, you know, you just adapt and overcome. You just keep going. And then Satan afflicted me in my mind. And it wasn't just an affliction with thoughts. We can deal with that. But he afflicted me in the way that my body produced chemicals that are supposed to go and have reactions in my brain. And cause it to be unbalanced. And in your mind, you can experience things, and it's not because of anything that's going on around you. You can experience despair, the feeling of despair. You can experience a lot of things that actually there's nothing tangible around you that's causing it. And I come to realize that. But I also come to realize that God could heal me from it. And I gave that testimony to you here just over, you know, this fall, I think it was back this fall, during the fall. But I went through a time, and you were tested during it. Because there was a time, friends, I couldn't even preach. And then when I came back and started preaching, you know, I still feel like I couldn't preach. And I struggled. But I just kept going. That's the thing. Don't quit. Until God brings the complete deliverance. Until God brings a restoration. Restores you. And the thing is, on the other side of it, you're better for it. And I have tried to use these things to be an encouragement to you. And I'll tell you something, friends. I remember when I first came here to pastor, there were several individuals in the church that were sick and that were in need of healing. And I'll tell you something, I felt so inadequate. And I thought to myself, I need to have somebody, a visiting preacher, come in here that can really preach some faith to these people. I felt so inadequate. But I'll tell you something, through the years and things I've been through, I've learned a lot about faith. And I learned that, you know, faith is not a hope so. Faith isn't just a repetition of saying the same thing, hoping that things are going to change. Faith is a substance that you can get a hold of, a consolation to know things are going to change. Hallelujah. God can't lie. Whatever he says in his word, whatever promises he's made, he has to fulfill them because he can't lie. His promises, Paul says, as we read tonight, are yea and amen. Hallelujah. You know, when we're going through things, instead of having a pity party for ourselves, let's take a consolation, which is, friends, the assurance that God's got it in control, the assurance that God's going to bring us through, the assurance that everything is going to work out for our good because his word said it would. I you know, there was one time it experienced a great thing, a great despair, you know, that was a great despair for others. And an individual came up to me, you know, and they were kind of on the outs with God in their life. And they came up to me under this time of this great despair, and they said, you know, how in the world could this be for our good? But I watched God bring that soul. I watched God bring them back. There's times we would look at something and see that you think that it's so bad. How in the world could this be turned around for our good? How could the death of somebody be for our good? Well, first of all, you know, not everything's about you. You know, someone, you know, they lose a child. And you say, Brother Jerry, I don't know how you can talk about this. You've never lost a child. I've been around a lot of people that have. And I tell you what, friends, I've got a lot of experience in the Lord. And I also know the things that Brother Branham has said, and I believe them. Look, friends. If God takes a child home, it was the time for God to take that child home. And many times we want to think about how it's affecting us. Maybe it wasn't about you. Maybe it was about the child. Friends, God don't only have just one child. He's got all of us. And he has to take care of all of us. Sometimes we get really self-centered in our thoughts. You know, sometimes we wonder, well, okay, I've went through this and now I'm out of it. How did I benefit from it? maybe it's about somebody else benefiting from it. Because they're going to go through something. And they saw that God brought you through. And I'll tell you this, friends. You know, Paul writes in the Bible, he says that we should comfort one another with these words concerning those that die. Comfort one another with these words. What? That, look, you're going to see him again. And they're not dead. They're just absent from this body. They're just absent from this life. But our consolation is there is a life beyond this life. This isn't the only life. And I'll tell you something, friends, in the grand scheme of all of God's plans, this life and the preservation of it really ain't that great. When you compare it to what we're going to be, we're going to have a body like his glorious body. We're never going to grow old again. We're never going to be sick again. No wonder we read here recently, Paul said, if we have hope only in this life, we're miserable. But as I brought out about the deer panting for the water, you know, the thing about us, you know, many times we try our best to hang on to this life. And that's because there's something in us that's made that way. It's supposed to be that way. That deer panting for the water, he's trying to hang on to life. But I'll tell you something, friends, I have witnessed people when actually their time come to go and they were ready to go, and God, it seemed like, revealed to them that he was taking them. And you know what? They didn't try to hold on to this life any longer. Brother Brandon brings out about when Brother Bosworth was passing, and he was in the room, and they had drawn the shades, and they were singing sad songs. And Brother Bosworth said, who's dying here, me or you? Raise them shades, let some light in. Sing some happy songs, I'm going home. Yeah, well, Brother Bosworth was old. What about Hope Branham? She was just young, a young mother with two babies. How great was that life she was going to? So great that she told Brother Brown, why did you call me back? Why did you call me back? She didn't want to come back. Say, wait a minute, she had two babies and a husband. Why would she want to come back? Because this life, friends, is nothing compared to that. Amen. I remember we had, many of you remember, Sister Susan that was here with us. You know, and honestly, looking at things, I wonder if all them that came and brought her and all that, if it wasn't just for her. And, you know, her brother tried to convince her time and time again to leave here. And you know what she told him? She told him, no, God sent me here. Brother Jerry is my pastor. And God sent me here. I'm not leaving. And she was a sickly woman. And she was in the hospital, in and out of the hospital many times. And when she was in the hospital, I'd go up there to see her. She'd be up there in Nashville. And I'd go up there to see her and sit with her and talk with her. And she always asked me the same thing every time. She would ask me, am I going to die? Is this my time? I'd say, Sister Susan, I don't know. God hadn't showed me anything. And I said, but I come up here to pray for you. And then the very last time she was in the hospital, I went up there. And, you know, they told me that they had her back in the ICU. And she was in so much pain, they couldn't lay her down flat in the bed. They had her strapped to a bed and had it up at about a 45 almost degree angle or more. And had her strapped to it. And they told me, they said, we've been trying to give her something for the pain, but she's told us she didn't want anything. She was waiting till you got here. And so I got up there, and I went in, and she asked me the same thing she always asked me. Brother, am I going to die? Is this my time? And when she asked me that time, there was just something just came over me in my spirit, and I said, Sister Susan, what better healing could you ask for than to step out of here into a new body in the next little bit? She said, you're right. We were only able to stay in there just a few minutes, you know, and then they ushered us back out. The nurse told me later, as soon as they ushered us out, she called him over and said, go ahead, now you can give me the medication. They said she knew the medications almost better than they did. And she said, if you give me that medication, it'll make me lose consciousness, and I've got to have consciousness for my pastor to get here. But after I was there, she said, go ahead and give it to me. And friends, God took her later that night. And you know, and I'll just share this with you. I know I've told you before, but while she was up there that night, you know, they'd moved her out of ICU actually into another room because they said she was dying. And she was in a coma. And so I got a call from somebody, you know, and they said, Brother Jerry, could you come up here? They said, listen, I've got some things I need to say to her to make right, and said, could you come up here and pray that God would bring her back out of that coma? So I went up there, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I went up there to the hospital in Nashville. Friends and family were gathered around. And, you know, here was this individual called me and said, you know, pray that God will bring her out of this, you know, back conscious so I can talk to her. I've got some things I got to get off my chest. And I'll tell you something, that just didn't really sit right with me. And I went, you know, and I stepped back out of the room and I went and talked to the nurse. And I don't know why the nurse told me what she did, but she did. I said, look, I'm her pastor. I said, yes. I said, listen, I got to ask you something. I said, if she was to come back conscious, how would she be? She said, if she come back conscious, she said, look, her legs are busted open. And she said, if she came back conscious, she wouldn't even be able to hear nobody. She'd be in so much pain. I said, all right. So I went back in there. I took hold of her hand. And then I just prayed silently, because I wasn't praying for the sake of anybody else in that room. And I said, Lord, look, if there's anything that would prevent Sister Susan from crossing over to the other side, then bring her back to so that she can do whatever she needs to do or say whatever she needs to say so that she can go on. I said, but God, if everything is settled between you and her, and there's nothing hindering her. I said, then Lord, don't let her come back too. Just go ahead and take her tonight. I didn't tell anybody there what I prayed. I just said goodnight to them and I left. And I came back home. And then I got the call. She had passed. You know, we should be concerned about others, not ourselves. This individual called me. They should have been more concerned about Sister Susan and what she was feeling than what they were going through. If you got something you need to make right with somebody, don't let it go, man. Do it. Make it right. Don't wait till then. Hallelujah. And I have shared that story about her over and over and over again. Not only here, but other places. And I'll tell you something, friends. That was something, an experience that has been able to help other people. We've went through many things here in this church, and I'm closing. We have been through some really hard times. There has been different preachers that have been here and preached, and many that have known you, that has told me that they have never in their life ever seen another church that has went through so much. Brother Darrell Ward talked to me on the phone several years ago about it. And he said that was exactly what Brother Donnie said to him about us. But we're still here. There's been some times, Brother Jim, where it seemed like Satan was going to take us. There's been some times maybe when it looked like how in the world could we go on, but we're still going on. And why? Because of the grace of God. There's been many. Friends, look, there was many tried to discourage me when I first came here from other places and things. Some preacher, you know, he sent word, said, tell him that's a graveyard for preachers there in Dixon. Another pastor saw me at a funeral out in West Tennessee, and he come up to me and talked to me, and he said, I'll tell you something, them people just can't be pastored. I never listened to any of them. You know why? I knew who sent me. They weren't the ones that I was looking at. I felt like Paul. I didn't need to go up there to ask them up there at Jerusalem about it. I'd met the Lord and he told me. I didn't need, as Paul said, to go ask them that thought they was so much. And Paul said, they were nothing to me. God sent me. And look, the many times I have said that here and went over that, I don't say it to try to convince you so I can hold on to this here. I say it to give you consolation, to know, look, friends, if God sent me here, then, look, then he's got something that he wants to do for you. We're just a small church. You know, our numbers have grown at times. And I'll tell you something, that didn't make us stronger. When we had more of these pews filled, I'm going to tell you, it didn't make us stronger every time. Because many of them pews was filled with trouble. But what has made us stronger is the Word of God being preached that has had an effect in your hearts and your lives and has changed you from what you were to what you are now. Hallelujah. Look, those voices, it's not really the confidence in me that they're wanting to break down. They're wanting to break down your confidence in God because he's the one that sent me. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word, dear God, for your encouragement. As Paul said, we have a consolation. Though at times our sufferings may be great, great also is our consolation. Lord, we have a consolation. Lord, even when, as Jesus said, that people are casting our name out as evil and treating us bad, know that we've got a great reward in heaven. Hallelujah. I pray you'll bless your people tonight, dear God. Lord, bless those, dear God, that have went out of town for the New Year's, dear God. Be with Brother Phil. Lord, I can't remember. I believe he said he was going to be in Virginia or something. And Lord, and Father, I pray you'll be with him. Be it with him in the services that he's in. I pray, dear God, that you will bring us back here on Sunday, dear God. God, and that you will bless your people greatly with your word on Sunday, dear God. Give them rest in their bodies, dear God. I pray, dear God, and let us face this oncoming year, dear God, with great hope, looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Lord, knowing that as the things in this world keep going in the direction they're going, God, I remember as in my youth hearing preachers say we're at the end time. And Lord, I look back to what was going on in the world at those times. And then I looked at how it is today. God, I don't even think back then we could even imagine it would become what it's, the things that has become today. The minds of people, how they have turned, Lord. This sodomite condition that this world is getting in, Lord, we're closer to the coming of the Lord. Bless your people now, we pray.